Hey everyone, this is Shane Schultz. It is 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday evening, and that means it's time for The Mindset, where we try to do our best in order to be able to convince you that our mindset can be our very best ally instead of our own personal enemy. But I gotta tell you, I don't do this show by myself. I do it with a good friend of mine. Her name is Claudia Israel. Claudia, how are you this evening?
I'm well, Shane. How are you?
I am doing really, really good. Thanks. I appreciate it. Been having quite the busy week together. We've been having our own schedules that have been kind of crazy lately, for sure.
Yes, yes. But then again, you know, that's how life works. Life doesn't just stop or go away, you know, and that's a beautiful thing, but certainly it can have its challenges, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. That's a good way of putting it. So we're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to be talking about the subject of starting right where you are. Why don't you go ahead and start us off with that?
Okay. Starting where you are is basically the concept that you don't need anything else to start the process of improving your life. You don't need to, we were talking right before the show, I really don't like New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people have had successful ones. I'd be willing to bet if we did a research study and really did it longitudinally and looked at it, I bet it's really not a very successful thing.
Right.
And normally, I'm a big person who believes in the concept of planning for change and, you know, we've talked about that on another show where, you know, we're able to kind of really gear ourselves up to make changes. But I think New Year's resolutions tend to imply that there's some kind of magic that's going to happen, that, you know, you're going to get that gym membership, which is like one of the top, I think it's one of, if it's not the top one, it's in the top two of resolutions that people make. That you join a gym, and then of course you got to buy the gear, you got to get the leggings and the sweatshirt and the shoes, and you kind of get yourself into this place where you're like, okay, you know, then it's going to happen. And it doesn't. And oftentimes I think we get lost in buying all the gear and the tools that we think we're going to need, and it has to be in this specific environment, and it has to have all these conditions, I guess might be a good word.
Yeah.
I really, really want to encourage people to kind of shift that thinking away. That predominantly what start where you are. The concept is it's exactly that. Start where you are. Look around you right now and think about one change that you want to make an improvement in your life, whatever that might be. And just look around and what can you do with where you are right now, with what you have right now to start to do that? Because oftentimes we put a lot of obstacles in our way to making changes. Like, for instance, starting a diet. It's like, okay, well, first we have to clean out our home of all the foods that are unhealthy. Well, food costs money, so we're not going to throw that food away. So we should probably use up that food before we invest in all this other healthy food. So why don't we do that first? And then, well, we really should have a food processor or a Nutribullet or a juicer. So we should get that. And then we need to get the recipe book to do that. And then we should study that and really kind of look at what we should make. And then it goes into the whole process of all these different things that we need to do before we just commit to making a change. And this is different, again, than planning for change, because planning for change has a very specific goal also, but it's done for a different mindset. So in this mindset, it's for people who tend to put all those obstacles and conditions in the way, which can prevent us from making change. Instead of going to the gym and jumping right into a gym membership, which they've proven, one of the reasons that Planet Fitness is so awesome is because even though they only charge you $10 a month, most people who join never go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're getting $10 a month, $10 a month for people not using the facilities. So there's no wear and tear. So they're making a lot of money. The idea is, okay, if you want to do a gym thing, well, one of the things at the gym that they want you to know, to do cardio. You know, they want you to do that. That's part of any workout routine. So how can you do something cardio at home? Of course, the obvious is, unless you have limitations in this area, is walking. So instead of getting in that mode where you're going to have to jump on the bike or, God forbid, the Stairmaster, which is where one of the things that my very first personal trainer was like, hey, you know, let's do the Stairmaster. And I was like, are you trying to kill me? Like, really? I'm here for health. I'm not here for death. I mean, it really felt that way for me.
Yeah.
So that decreases motivation too, because that seems so hard. But you know what? I can walk around the block. And after I walk around the block a couple of times, then, you know, I might want to walk a little further and then a little further. And then, you know, at some point, I may need to kick it up a notch because your heart rate needs to be in a certain zone to be in that fitness zone and all that kind of stuff. But I guess what I'm saying is you can walk. You don't really need much of anything unless, again, obviously you have those limitations to just go outside and walk around the block. You don't even have to walk far. You know, I think we have that perception that, you know, now we're going to have to walk a mile or do all this other stuff. And that's just not true. I think that's kind of starting where you are. So instead of focusing in on maybe buying all the right together healthy food because we have to get rid of all the unhealthy food in the house, what about giving that food to somebody else? Is there some way that you can make good use of that so that you can make room for yourself to get rid of temptation and bring the healthy food in? Is there another way that you can get around certain obstacles that you've always had in place? Like, I'm working with a woman right now that basically she always goes and buys, you know, and I think a lot of us fall into this trap too, where it's like, oh my God, there's all these deals at the grocery store. So we're going to go grocery shopping once a month. We're going to get all the deals, use all the coupons, and then we don't have to go to the store and we'll have the refrigerator stock. That way we're not being impulsive around food choices. All true. However, I know that little drawer in my refrigerator that's called the vegetable crisper is oftentimes the vegetable liquefier because things just go bad.
Yeah.
I mean, does that make sense?
It's
kind of like, okay, so maybe the idea is not to do the big shop once a month. Maybe you go to the grocery store every couple of days, keep the house at a low level of food if you tend to be an impulsive person around eating, because you can impulsively eat large amounts of healthy food too.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah. So go every couple of days, get healthy food, and that way you're also like cooking toward your appetite. Like a lot of times, you know, when I'm in the store, I may be thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to have these veggie burgers and these bean sprouts and the salad and this amount of fruit, and I'm going to get this. And then 3 days after I've gone shopping, I'm like, oh God, I don't want any of that. No, I don't want this kind of salad. And no, I'm not really in the mood for a veggie burger anymore. And then that's the stuff that sits and sits. And then I find justification to eat maybe some of the foods that I've decided I really don't want to eat anymore.
Yeah, you have like adverse justification, right? Because it's adversity that ends up putting you into that situation, ends up putting you where you are finding reasons why you do not do it, or even worse verbiage would be why you can't do it. Like you were talking about when you have a New Year's resolution, it's often what happens is that you have it in your mind. You have it in your head that this is what it is that you're going to do. The problem is that you at some point in time got to put the work to the road. And that's an old term to somebody who does a lot of road work when it comes to exercise and stuff, a boxer or somebody who's cross training or something in that sense. You got to put the work to the road. You got to get it to the point as to where you get it out of your mind and you put it to paper first. Then you put it from paper. You then go and you apply it. See, it's one thing to think about something. It's a whole other thing to actually apply your efforts to being able to get things done. That's what's necessary when we're talking about you need to start right where you are right now. If you need to do a Stairmaster, guess what? Most of us have staircases in our house somewhere. Maybe if you're in Florida, maybe you don't, but you can actually walk in place and get just as much cardio done as what you can otherwise. In fact, when you're on a treadmill, it's not like you're really going very far. You're basically in place. You're holding yourself in place. But your body is working and doing the movements in order to give you the impression that you are actually doing the same walk or the same exercise that you would do if you went a couple miles. You can do the same thing at home.
Yeah.
In fact, it wasn't that long ago. I know it's probably outdated these days, but the Wii. Anybody have a Wii game in their house? That's what it's all about. It's all about actually being able to perform different acts of exercise within a small area. So it allows you, I know when I had the Wii game, it was, of course, I played golf. Okay? I played an entire 18-hole championship golf course in my living room. I didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't even have to walk out my front door. There's exercises that are on video games and like the Wii and such as to where you can do running. You can do cardio. You can do push-ups. You can do sit-ups. You can do a whole lot of different things. You can do things in order to make a difference in your life without paralyzing yourself to getting things done. Because that's what ends up happening. We end up, promoting our mind to working overload. And then we end up being paralyzed for what it is that we're thinking, and we keeps us from actually applying what it is that's needed to be done so that we can actually be successful in the goal that we're setting for ourselves. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, it makes perfect sense. And I mean, I think that's what it's about, kind of finding a way to do things that are easily accessible to us right now so that there are no obstacles. You know, we talked about that as a joke, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, obstacle removal therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we put all these things in the way that if this were in this place and if this were here and if this were here, then I could be successful and then I could lose weight and then I would start to exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of movies that are out there. And for my friends, the Lombardo family, Joe and Rebecca, they're movie buffs. There's a lot of movies that are out there. The ones that are wisdom-like or zen-like, it's funny. When they start talking about exercise to one of the characters or something like that, one of the characters automatically, they get all geared up. Well, we have to do this. We have to do that. We have to do this. Okay, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do that? And next thing you know, the leader or the master is sitting there and saying, just do. Don't think, just do. anybody remember the movie Karate Kid? I know I'm probably dating myself, but it actually is relevant. Here it is. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, he wanted to learn how to fight. He wanted to learn how to get back at his bully that was working him over time and time and time again. He wanted to learn how to fight and defend himself against his bully. So he goes over to this guy who is Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi sits there and he says, oh, you want to learn how to fight? Okay, well, here's a paintbrush. Well, Ralph Macchio looks at him and says, what? You know, I mean, what am I supposed to do with this thing? And he goes, you paint the fence. You go up, you go down, up, down. You know, and it was a real simple message to say, you don't need a whole lot of instruction. You don't need a whole lot of things that are busying your head that keep you from actually applying what it is that's needed. And what Miyagi did was, is that he utilized different ways and he manipulated Ralph Macchio, the main character, into learning how to actually be able to do karate with simple measures that are everyday to our lives. You know, I mean, painting the fence. Most of us have painted a fence at some point in time in our life. So it wasn't real difficult. You know, you take a paintbrush, you go up, you go down, up, down. You know, I mean, how difficult is that? But
exactly,
he did it right then, and he did it right now. Start where you are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You don't need to be in any other certain preconditioned state to make some movement toward a goal that's important to you or improving the quality of your life or whatever it is that you need to do where right now you're feeling stuck. And I think that part of it is a predisposition that I think human beings have to, on some level, kind of procrastinate and, you know, put things off. I think some people are much better at not doing that. But I also think part of the conditioning comes from our culture. It's kind of like if you have this membership or get this at-home gym, you know, just 27 payments of $79 and you'll have this exquisite home gym that nobody ever uses except as like storage space for their laundry, you know, months down the road, or having, again, certain gear, certain vitamins or certain things. So then you don't have the money. So you're like, all right, well, if I save up the money and I do that, then, you know, I'll have everything in place so that I won't fail. And I think we get into that thought process that we're setting ourselves up for success. And again, when we're talking about somebody who can work with the concept of planning for change, that might work. But I think for most people, it's not necessarily that easy. And it's much more of an avoidance technique to put all these other things in the path before we actually start to just walk the path towards some health-seeking behavior is what I like to call it. Because health-seeking behaviors are challenging to start because it actually means that it's a behavior that we need to engage in. And if our culture is telling us, well, you know, the only way to be successful is you're going to get to do it if you join the gym. And, you know, there's all these cheerleading infomercials that I have to admit used to suck me in, not because I wanted to, but just because I'd be waiting for the next program. And that was back in the day where you could change the channel a lot more often. But it was like, when is the next show coming on? But before I realized that the whole half hour was going to be this infomercial, I was already sucked in. I'd be like, oh, wow, that does look cool. Oh, wow, that would make my life easier if I have a multi-grain chopper to bake my own healthy bread so that I never have to go to the store to buy bread again and it's always going to be weight loss bread. It's just crazy stuff that people have kind of come into. And on some level, you can't really even blame corporations for doing that because that's the nature of a corporation is to make money off you. And they've figured out a lot of psychology to be able to do that.
Yeah. And it's their profession. I mean, yeah, they do it for a living,
yes. You know,
so they know what it is that they're doing. They know what's enticing to a person. They know what it is. They know the hot spots in order to be able to get your attention. They know this. Now, here's the thing. They don't care about you. They care about selling their product. They care about you doing what it is that they want you to do. It's called a call to action. That's what it is. Okay. Anybody who knows anything about advertising or marketing and anything, it's called a call to action. It's to where you are saying something or you're enticing someone to do what it is that you want them to do, whatever that may be. Maybe it might be to buy the Nordaflex. Maybe it might be to watch a podcast. Maybe it might be something else. Like you said, the silver bullet. I mean, I fell for that. That made sense. To me, it made total sense. I'm not an overly healthy guy when it comes to food, but I try to do a good job, and I thought that I was going to do a little bit better. And especially when I was taking medications for the first time in my life, I really wanted to be able to do that. So it made sense. I went ahead and I bought the silver bullet. And to be honest with you, I've used it quite a bit. But I've only used it. See, I love what I like. So I only use it for the certain things that I like. And, you know, when you're talking about a number of different things that you're doing with the silver bullet, some of that is kind of like hit and miss. The different recipes and stuff like that, some of it, you know, some of them you're going to like, some of them you're not. The ones that I don't like, I'm not going to do again. The ones that I do like, I'll do over and over and over. Although I have utilized the silver bullet to be something that has been beneficial for me, it's not near as beneficial as what it was supposed to be.
Hey everyone, this is Shane Schultz of the Speak in the Heart Radio Network. I want to take a moment to bring your attention to our new podcast, Voices for Change. That's where my good friends Rebecca and Joe Lombardo, they provide a healing platform through awareness and a voice for change. This Saturday morning, we're going to be talking to another good friend of mine, Amy Ostreicher, of which is a miraculous story you're not going to want to miss. This is all about compassion, perseverance, and so, so much more. 11 a.m. Eastern Time this Saturday morning on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network.
And that's another thing that we fall into too, Claudia, is our expectations. Our expectations really kind of trip us up when we think about starting right where we are right now. Because we think that, well, we have to have that ideal result. And when we don't have that ideal result, well, that certainly throws us down the hill, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does. And I think it takes a lot of training to get our mindset to kind of shift. You know, I mean, I know I've had to apply that in so many different areas of my life to kind of finally achieve the success that I thought I should have achieved 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the right time, and I needed to do all these other things first, and I needed to start where I was, and that meant that there was going to be a learning curve around certain things, and that once I mastered that learning curve, there might have been another learning curve. But then at some point, you find yourself in a good place, and you realize you've made all these strides, and that you've come pretty far, and you didn't even realize it necessarily. And it all comes from just taking one step at a time where you are. Mm-hmm. One step at a time moving forward. And I know I've used Peace Stock as an example before, but I think it works as an example again today, especially since, of course, it's coming up in September again, is, you know, the first year, it was like I really didn't know everything that I needed to do. And it was a real learning curve, and it didn't end up being everything that I pictured it to be in my head. It really ended up kind of having a kind of rocky start, and I fell on my face quite a few times in the process the first year and the second year, and I'm sure this year again too. Mm-hmm. But in reflection here in my third year doing it compared to my first year, I absolutely have so much more knowledge. I've come so much further, and today when I think about it, it's like I'm exactly where I need to be today. I'm exactly in the learning curve I need to be in today, and every year I'm going to keep learning and growing, and it's just going to keep getting better and better. And I've come to a place to just kind of understand in my own life that life is going to take its time, too. You can't force it. So the best thing that you can do is just work with what you have in the moment and just move forward. I remember when I was first starting out as a therapist, this was back in the day, Before, there were, like nowadays, you know, for those of you who don't know this, there are workbooks and books on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you get so much stuff online. So if I need to have a group therapy idea and I am just really, I didn't get a chance to prepare maybe as much and I didn't get a chance to research maybe as much or I didn't have the resources to buy anything, I go online and I type in a topic and then I type in handout. And then I type in even group ideas. And the internet gives you 1,000 different things. Now, when I first started, there was no such thing. If you wanted to buy a book on group therapy, it cost hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
And even then, it rarely gave you a lot of group ideas. So when you actually did find somebody who wrote a book about techniques and interventions and cool ideas, I mean, it was like gold. And that would cost tons and tons of money. I remember one of my favorite books was Psychodrama Group Therapy for the Elderly. And it was just a great book because the interventions were so universal to be used, not just with elderly folks, but, you know, with younger folks and with folks who had some cognitive limitations and stuff like that. So it just had multi-uses. But an intern of mine lost the book and ended up replacing it, which, of course, was great because they kind of needed to. Mm-hmm. But they shared with me, because I had gotten the book as a gift, that when they had to replace it, the book cost $60. And this book is not even 100 pages, but it was back at that time, it was like this really valued book. So back then, I would have to look in my bookcase or even look at home or even go to the library and I would find interesting books, and I would make therapy ideas out of those books. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I would just get creative. Like, there was this great book called Essential Spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And it had so many cool concepts in it about, like, universal communal spiritual practices. And being able to kind of boil those down and turn those into group therapy. I mean, it took a lot of effort because you basically had to take a non-therapy oriented book and turn it into therapy. But that was all I had. So that was totally start where you are. Well, you know, I'm not a rich woman, especially as a beginning social worker. Well, not that that's really changed that much. But, you know, it's like you don't have like tons and tons of money to buy resources and just have unlimited supplies. Like, you had to figure it out. You had to network with people, or you had to basically take a book and figure out how to get group therapy concepts out of it. I actually, any intern that comes to me, I will pick a random book out of my bookcase that's not necessarily a therapy book. And I'll be like, okay, I want you to, in this book, I want you to come up with 6 group ideas. Sometimes the title is something where they're like, I don't even know that this has anything to do with social work. And I was like, well, therein lies the challenge. You need to be able to come up with a group topic or group therapy out of anything. And that's start where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes for me, even in a group therapy process, I have this great agenda. I've got this great group topic, and I'm really excited because I found great handouts, and I think it's really applies. And, you know, I've had groups that are be like, yeah, no, we're not doing that today. And I'm like, what? No, we are doing that today.
We have to.
Like, I planned this out, people. You know, I put some effort here, and people will be like, yeah, no, we're not doing it. I work with a group that I still work with sometimes when I cover the group, but these folks have a thought disorder. So for our listeners who don't know what that means, you know, they have something called schizophrenia, most of them. And they are fabulous because if they're not in the mood for something, they don't even like just make the group hard to do because they're not participating. They just flat out say no. What's another option? You know, and it's kind of like, what if there is no other option? They're like, play hangman. It's like, no. We're not going to play hangman. That's not a group intervention. But I got to tell you, there were times where guess what we ended up playing?
Hangman.
Because that's start where you are. They weren't willing to go anywhere else that day.
Exactly. And, you know, it also brings up another point is, for those of you who are trying to do something that's uniquely different than anything else that's out there, God love you. But here's the thing. The likelihood is that the idea that you have in your mind has already been approached. It's already either been approached, thought of, or it's actually been put into application in some way, shape, or form. That's okay. Because here's the bottom line. 85 to 90% of the things that we do has been done by somebody else. It's the 10 to 15% that you're looking to put that branding of yourself into it. It's the important part is the 10 to 15% that you're looking to put yourself into it. Your personality into it. That's what makes it a little bit different. I'm a life coach. Okay. I changed it to I'm a life improvement coach. All right. Now people could say, well, you're just playing with words. No, I don't think so. A life coach to some, a life coach is like kind of telling you what it is that you need to do. A life improvement coach, in my mind, is somebody who's actually teaching you to understand why it's improving you and why you can take it on for yourself and move on forward. That's how I look at it. Okay, and of course, I have my own verbiage and I have my own ways and that I do things, and that's what makes it different. That's the 10 to 15%. That's mine. That's my personal branding that's into the course or into the action that I'm taking. But the rest of it is all about somebody else. You know, somebody else has already done it numerous times. I'm just doing it in a way that has my personality involved.
Right.
There's numerous philosophers that are out there who have done what it is that I do. There are numerous motivational speakers that have done what it is that I do. Over and over and over, and more than what it is that I do. But
right. It
my personal part of it is that 10 to 15%, which is that personal branding. That's what it is that we're doing. Same thing with what it is that you're trying to get done. If you're trying to do a different exercise class, or if you're trying to do a book, don't get stood up in your own mind to think that you have to come up with something that's truly, truly original. Very few people do that nowadays. Anybody listen to the radio recently? How many songs have you heard that are remixes of an older song? How many movies have been revisited, refurbished? Don't get stood up into your head thinking that you have to do it differently, and if you can't do it differently, then you can't do it. Don't do that. Because what you want to do is you just want to get moving. You just want to get a movement into the action portion of what it is that you're trying to do. And once you start doing that, that's when you can start putting yourself into it. That's when you can start putting that 10 to 15% that means something to you, which then in turn means something to your audience, whatever that may be. Now, maybe it might not be a podcast, but maybe it might be a report that you're doing. Maybe it might be a book. Maybe it might be something that you're doing at work. Maybe it might be how it is that you're handling your children. I don't know. Whatever it is that makes it memorable to being you, because that's what makes you special and unique. Now, everybody is special and unique in their own special way. And that is where you get the uniqueness. That's when you get the genuineness. That's where you get the originality, the authenticity into what it is that we do. Same thing with Claudia. Claudia just mentioned about how it used to be they had to go out and they had to go get books. They had to read a whole lot. They had to spend a whole lot of time. Now what do? Now we go on the internet. We spend a search for like 15 to a half hour, maybe. And you find anywhere between 50 and 100 different ways of being able to do what it is that you thought was going to be original. If she had stopped realizing that, oh my God, what it is that I thought was going to be original has already been done. And if she stopped herself from doing what it is that she was going to do, well, I mean, you're really limiting yourself. And that's not anything of what Start Where You Are is about.
Well, and I think that's why it's really important for us to just kind of sit back and really kind of look around and explore kind of like what resources or what do we have to work with around us right here, right now? For me, I guess I would have to say the first thing that I did when I came up here to where I live now is I ended up mapping out the development where I live. Basically, you know, like how much is a block? Like how far is that is, you know, how far of that is a mile, you know, and kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. And basically at that point decide, well, this is 1 mile, you know, then when I kick it up, this would be a 2 mile walk. This would be 3 mile. And then how long does that take me? And when could I fit that in my day? Because if I decide I don't have time at this time or at that time, or, you know, then again, that's going to be an obstacle in my path. So it's about kind of, okay, well, this is a nice development. It's safe. It's not a highway. So now I can definitely figure out when I could do X, Y, and Z. Like if I'm having a quick morning, I know I can take this route and get a mile in. If I know I have more time, then I'm going to go down this way and I can do that route. Or if it rains, where can I go if I want to be inside and not get wet? And it's just all of those things that I can now explore and have that easily accessible to me because I've gotten rid of the idea that I have to have certain things in certain ways or that I have to buy certain tools or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then another thing is that if you're trying to figure out, like say, for instance, what Claudia just mentioned as an example, if you're trying to figure out when is a good time to go for a walk, where's a good venue that you can go to while it's raining, what length of track or what length of road is good for this many miles as opposed to that many miles or anything. Here's a suggestion. Do that while walking, okay? In other words, get started. Start where you are. Think about it while you're doing it. Because then, guess what? This is another thing. When it comes to when we're thinking about things, we kind of like hunker down, don't we? We kind of root ourselves almost like a tree. It's almost as if like, well, we need quiet. We need to be able to focus on what it is that we're doing. You want to know something? Sometimes that's not the case at all. Sometimes you need movement. Sometimes you need activity. Sometimes you need to get going. Get started. We talk about verbiage and you talk about different affirmations and you talk about different pictures in your head. Instead of thinking of pushing a boulder up a mountain, think about getting it off the mountain and pushing it off the mountain and seeing how far it goes. See, that's what happens. When you're sitting there and you're thinking and you have this perception that this is going to be hard and I need to get it to this point and I need to be strong enough in order to get it up to here and I need to be able to do this and I need to be able to have this equipment and I need to be able to have this instructor and I need to be able to have this and this and that and this. If you keep on adding and adding and adding different variables, you're going to end up doing nothing because you're going to end up being paralyzed by what it is that you're thinking in your head. Whereas opposed to, you take the boulder, you push it off the edge, and you watch how far it goes. Get started. Get moving. Get your mind going. Your mind, believe it or not, is definitely more efficient when you're active. How efficient is your mind when you're sitting there and you're tired, you're yawning, and you're watching TV, you're kind of zoning out and everything like that? How much do you get done doing that? Not very much. Whereas opposed to how much do you actually get done after you do a run or after you do a walk or after you do some sort of exercise? Your mind is going. Anybody who ever does this stuff, they know that their mind is moving. Their mind is thinking. Same thing when it comes to different things. Like, for instance, when I would write something, like I do a lot of different writing content, whether it be blogs, whether it be a book, whether it be podcasts, whatever the case may be. I have to tell you, I am definitely challenged by procrastination. No doubt about it. I am. Because I'm like, well, I need to think this and I need to think this over and we need to get this going. Yeah, absolutely. And you want to know what happens? Nothing. Zero. Nothing gets done. You want to know when it does get done? When I just start writing. And when I get going, when I start writing, then all of a sudden my brain says, oh, we're actually in the game now. And then it starts thinking. And then I end up writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And next thing you know, I end up with a full blog, or I end up with a whole podcast, or I end up with a chapter of a book, because I just got started. I started right where I was. And that's what Claudia was talking about, the difference between what was then and now. We have a whole lot of advantages, but sometimes we can use those advantages to actually be disadvantages to ourselves.
Yes. Yep. It's very, very true. I think that just actually taking that first step, just committing to just doing something, whatever that is, and not waiting for the perfect moment, the perfect opportunity, the perfect whatever, doesn't exist. Perfect conditions don't exist. And the longer we wait for them and try to make them happen, the more obstacles we're putting in our path, as opposed to starting where we are. And the important word, the operative word there, is starting.
Mm-hmm.
Just start. That's it.
Hi, everyone. This is Shane Schultz of Arisen Strength, the motivational podcast. Join my good friend Wayne the Hack Hacker and I as we discuss a topic that a lot of people don't think about during their day-to-day lives. This is a show you're not going to want to miss, 8 p.m. Eastern Time this Sunday night, Willingness versus Willfulness. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time this Sunday night on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network.
There's a thing that I've noticed over time in my career is that I am a guy who is definitely, you know, I love motivation. I love to be challenged. I absolutely love to be challenged. But here's the thing. Even though that I love to be challenged, I also can be seduced by being challenged. Now, what the difference is that being seduced by it means that I'm just sitting where it is that I am and I'm admiring it. I'm not doing anything. I'm not taking any action to it. So what I did is that I created a trigger. Oops. Oh, I know. There's a lot of people out there that's in our audience. They hear the word trigger and they're like, oh no, don't use that word. I understand. Here's the thing. Trigger, when you're in control, is a good thing. So create a trigger for yourself. Almost like when you're doing a 100-yard dash, pretend that there's a gun that goes boom, right? And you're gone. Shoom. Bye. Or if you're doing a swimming relay or something like that, man, somebody claps their hands, bam, you're off that board and you are swimming. Period. Or if somebody who's an auto racing enthusiast, I love drag racing. When that red light turns red, yellow, green, bam, you are gone. There's no need to think. If you're thinking, you're losing. It's just a matter of getting it going to get to that finish line. The only way that you're going to get to the finish line is if you start. That's the reality of the situation. And that's why Claudia is trying to get across. Start where you are. You don't have to go back. You don't have to go to a certain spot to get started. A lot of people try to go back and they try to repeat or try to reinvent what it is that happened from their past. That doesn't always work. Isn't that right, Claudia?
That's very, very true. It doesn't. And the best thing that we can do for ourselves, really, at any given time, is to not go back to our past, to actually start where we are today, because maybe the things from our past that might have worked or could have worked aren't going to work today. You know, that's not where we are today with any project that maybe you did more easily. I mean, I know, and I hate to say this because I know a lot of people don't necessarily want to hear this, as we get older, you know, where we would have started, where we were 5 years ago is not where we are at today and where we can start today.
Yeah, I'm one. You know, if you sit there and you say, well, I used to be this good. I used to be able to do this. I used to be able to do that. And then you're sitting there and you're trying to get something done today. You keep on talking about used to be's. They don't happen. Used to be's are anchors. Used to be's are just like an anchor that's holding the boat in place instead of you actually progressing to see where it is that you want to go. And another thing that my good friend Wayne the Hack Hacker talks about with the Risen Strength, it's about progress. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. It's about getting movement, getting action, getting activity. It's about that. It's not about the ideal situation. It's not about perfection. One of the problems that I think that we have in our society is that entertainment often goes off of the ideal situation. It often goes off of what is perfect. It always ends up being, a good guy wins, or it ends up being as to where the relationship ends up working out, or it ends up being as to where they're successful in what it is that they do. And a lot of it is because of time constraints, really, is made to look a heck of a lot easier than what it is that it actually is. So then you go ahead and then you go to attempt to do what it is that you see on TV and that you see in the movies and everything like that. And then you're slapped with reality, right? All of a sudden, bam, you're hit with reality real quick. Then what? Well, frustration starts setting in. Doubt starts setting in. Self-loathing might set in. A whole lot of different things can just set in there once you start standing still. But if you get slapped with reality and you keep on taking a foot forward, keep that step moving, well, yeah, those things are going to be coming after you, but they're going to be shedding off of you too because they can't land. You're going to be keeping going forward. You're going to keep moving. Progress as opposed to perfection can definitely get you to where you want to be. And that's something that, we try to do here on the Speaking of the Heart radio network in its entirety. Is try to get people to understand that progress is definitely, that's a victory. Get out of where it is that you are right now and get to where it is that you want to be. However you want to do it. But the first thing that you got to do is you got to start. And what we're saying here, what Claudia is saying here, is start where you are. And it's really that simple.
Yes, it is. It really is that simple. And I think we overcomplicate things in our mind. And I think we also, the brain does not like change.
Right.
It just plain doesn't like change. So it's going to come up with all these obstacles, and it's going to come up with all the reasons why we need X, Y, and Z to actually work toward our goal. And meanwhile, we don't need any of those.
Right. Yeah. There's no question about it. And this is a topic that, listen, we can talk about for a long time, but we can do the same thing that we're trying to tell you not to do. We can overcomplicate things. We can overcomplicate the conversation. All right. We've talked about it almost for an hour here. Really is not that difficult to grasp the concept. That's not to say that it's not a difficult thing to do, because it is a difficult thing to do. But if you come to realize that things get done when you start, when you just decide to get ahead, to just decide to move forward, that's when things get done. That's when you actually become successful. And I'm not talking about being successful and taking over the world. I'm talking about successful for those who are dealing with chronic pain and chronic illness and everything. There's probably 5 things that you can get done in a day. Well, the only way that you're going to get those 5 things done is if you start somewhere, and that means you have to start right where you are. As opposed to somebody who doesn't deal with chronic pain or chronic illness or whatever the case may be. It's the same damn concept. I talked about it on Arisen Strength the other night. When I'm challenged, when I'm having difficulties, I've been having a number of different difficulties with migraines due to my neck injury and everything like that. I also have chronic migraines and such. Listen, I have to do it a step at a time. Now, here's the thing. I might do it 5 times. I might do it 10 times. I might do it 80 times. But it always starts with 1 step at a time. And that's what it is that we're trying to get across here. You can be successful. You just need to make that first step. You just need to get it going. You just need to get the activity moving so that your body starts realizing, hey, we're in the game now. We are in it to win it. And the only way that we can do that is if we have activity, if we have action. That's when our mind starts collecting the whole scenario and says, okay, now I'm here to work for you. And then be amazed as to what it is that you can get done. Because I can guarantee you that there's been a lot of people who have performed above and beyond anything that they had ever thought that they could just because they got started. And the first thing that they'll tell you is, I didn't know I could do it, but then I realized I could. And it's because they started right where they were. Just like we're telling you to start right where you're at right now. And it's really, really that simple. So Claudia, the hour just flies by on us.
It always does.
So, folks, listen, we love doing this show. We love being able to come up with different ideas in order to be helpful, in order to make somebody be a little bit better than what they were the day before and the day before that. And we're going to continue to do so. Next week, we're going to be talking about one of our concepts of self-esteem. And what we're going to try to talk about is limiting our limitations. And I know, Claudia, that's something that you're looking forward to talking about.
I look forward to talking about all of our topics because they always lead us to more and more and more, which is the beauty of life.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a hashtag, it's wellness. It's all about wellness, is that once you start feeling that wellness inside you, you start realizing that there's a lot more that you can do than just have things happen to you. And that really makes a difference in life. So I'm Shane Schultz, and she is?
Claudia Israel.
Claudia Israel. She is our expert on the mindset and also the mindset of the Speaking the Heart Radio Network. And folks, we just want to say thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.